Happening out there, y'all. What's going on? This is Let's Talk on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Mr. Talk, and it's a happy Wednesday to y'all out there. It's the middle of the week. Woo-hoo! I tell you, nothing like that middle of the week thing going on, right? You know what that middle of the week mean? You got two more days for some of you. Now, for those that work on the weekend, hey, I'm sorry, but you get yours whenever you get them, right? Of course. All right, y'all, we got a great show for you today. Oh man, looking for some, wow, it's black women. Should you stop looking for black men? Oh my goodness, I'm telling you. Now, I mean, I know y'all calm down now. I know some of y'all done got riled up already. It's simple. I mean, we heard all the saying black men should look elsewhere for comparable women. You know, there's no way black women can find a good black man. So if that's the case, shouldn't black women just stop looking for black men? Huh? Should they just give and date outside the ethnic group? Grouping that we've been to, I guess, say that's where we should go? Huh? What other options do the black woman have? What other options does she have? That's what we're going to be talking about today. So I hope y'all ready. Yes, we have some things going on for you. That's right, man. I'm telling you, that's a nice groove, isn't it? Man, that groove be banging. I got to admit, sometimes I get caught up in the groove, get what I'm going to say. But nah, I haven't forgotten today. So that's what we're talking about. Black women, should you stop looking for black men? And I'm not trying to be derogatory to women, nothing like that. But, you know, we always talk about, you know, the black man and what issues he have and why is this and why is that. And a lot of it is coming from black women. So here's the thing. If that's the case, then why are you looking for him? You understand what I'm saying? Oh, okay. All right. We ain't going to get into that part of the show yet. But I know some of y'all ready for it. But it's okay. It's okay. We're going to get there. We're going to get to it. It ain't going to be long. It's not going to be long at all. All right. Now, with all that being said, we got that, you know, so you got a good idea of what we're going to be talking about today. All right, here we go. As we always do, there's some things we need to talk about. Yeah. Now, if you want to join the conversation, of course, give me a call, 347-838-8622. We love to hear your conversation, your opinion, or whatever you have to add to the show. You can just join the conversation with the rest of us. Why not? 347-838-8622. Because we love hearing everybody's opinion. We love that. You know, just remember when you call, respect each other's mic time. You know, I know it gets kind of heated sometimes and everybody want to throw in. You know, for the most part, let's respect everybody's mic time, okay? Yeah, we have to do that. You know, and make sure your comments are short and sweet. And we don't need no 10, 15-minute dissertations on a yes or no answer. You know, some of y'all out there, y'all have to give them long explanations that just could have been yes, no. I'm just saying. Hey, let's be honest. Some of y'all long-winded. Heck, yeah. Like Lowe yesterday, he was long-winded. I never knew Lowe to be that long-winded. But he has been gone from the show a couple of days, so maybe he just had to get everything out. I know if you're listening, you're going to give me that one. But anyway, and of course, yeah, let's keep your responses short and sweet as possible. No personal attacks, please. No personal attacks. You can attack what they said. You can attack the subject. You can attack a response. But do not attack the individual. Now, I know that some of you out there, y'all get y'all little snap remarks in here and there, and you know, it's okay, because I'm going to catch you eventually. And when I do, woo-hoo, yeah, that used to be a song, when I do, I'm going to tear into you. That's right. I'm going to write a song, like some music to that, right? That's right. Man, y'all tripping. Anyway, if anyone happens to violate any of those guidelines or the house rules, you know, there are certain things that they will hear, and here is one of them. I mean, I done put your behind on the sideline for a minute or two, you know, so you can calm yourself down. Okay? Now, however, if you get this sound right here coming, I think it basically means you just about done, you're about to reach the limit of the time you're going to be on the show. And y'all better listen to this one real good.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Press any key to return to the main menu.
That's right. That's special right there. And when you say press any key to return to the main menu, that's right, because you just done got kicked out, period. I'm just saying, you know. So that's it, y'all. Now, with that being said, we got the house rules out. Hopefully everybody understand what we got going on. It's time to get a shout out to see who's going on out there. I see 404 in the house, 817 and 214. I see them on the switchboard. Thank y'all for joining me today. Hey, I know I couldn't do nothing without y'all. In the chat room, we got SC Guest 285 and Guest 2380. Once again, thank you for joining us. And everybody else out there listening, you know, whatever devices you're listening on, thank you for joining us today. I'm sure we're going to have a good one, and I hope you enjoy the show. All right. I think we got all the particulars. Oh, no, I forgot. Also, if you want to send a message, you know, you don't have time to listen on the phone, whatever, all shows are archived, so you can always go back and listen to the shows I've done so far, okay? Also, you email ericletstalk@gmail.com. Or you go to my Facebook page, Let's Talk with Eric Jackson at Facebook.com. Leave me a message, send me a friend request, give me a suggestion for a show topic. Hey, whatever you want to do, we got that going on. You know, you understand what I'm saying? We got that going on. So we going to work that out, all right? So those are the ways you can contact me. 214, I see you checking up out there. I'll get to you in a minute, darling. You know, we got some things we got to do first, though. All right, here we go. I done talked a lot, so it's time for me to play something now. All right, man, here's the quote of the day, and after the quote of the day, we're going to get to the song of the day. Here's the quote of the day. Life has taught us that love does not consist of gazing at each other, but in looking together in the same direction. And that's by Antoine de Saint-Exupéry. I'm going to read it one more time. Life has taught us that love does not consist of gazing at each other, but in looking in the same direction. Man, I tell you, I like that. That's smooth. I like that. Well, without further ado, of course, I thought this was a great song to open, you know, for the song of the day. And I hope y'all, the old school, y'all going to really like this one. Y'all say, I ain't heard that in a long time. Yeah. Roughly, you know, some of our black women start looking at black men in this manner. I'm just saying, y'all don't get upset with me, okay? I'm just putting it out there. But anyway, here is the song of the day. I want to walk by my window. All right, y'all. I know some of y'all haven't heard that song in a long time. That's Ooh Boy by Royal Royce. Yeah. I like that song. I like that song. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Had some of y'all swerving back and forth. I know, I know, I know. All right, Renee, I saw you out there. Call on back. There you go. I know. I know she was going to call back. I do it. I do it. She's part of the crew now, so she's going to call in. Y'all know I'm tripping, right? All right, all right, all right, all right. Here we go. Settling in. Going to get that cup of Joe. And y'all get ready. Going to get that cup of Joe, get ready. Because we're about to rock and roll. Sit back, relax, and let's do this thing. First story we're talking about today. And according to a new study released by the United States Census Bureau, almost 1.5 million of the 4.1 million U.S. births in 2011 were to unwed mothers. Oh, what? Okay. Which is almost 36%. By the majority of unwed births were to U.S.-born Caucasian women between the ages of 20, 24, with little to no college education and a medium household income between $24,999. They say factors contributing to each state's ranking varied. However, y'all going to listen, come in. The District of Columbia, yeah, you know that D.C. part of Washington? Yeah, them folk right there came in at number one with 50.8%. Yes, and the median income is $63,124 a year. And that's high percentage of women ages to 15 to 50 with a bachelor's degree or better. At 50.2% and a low percentage of women ages 15 to 50 without a high school diploma. Now, let's take a look at this. I mean, so, and, you know, the first one I gave you, that kind of rounded out Mississippi, Florida, Louisiana, Alabama. Yeah. And, you know, they had the low incomes and the young ones. But then you go to D.C., and it kind of just throws everything out of whack because women still having kids without, you know, being married or what have you. But these ladies are earning at least $63,000 on average, $63,124 a year. And a lot of them have bachelor's or degrees or better. So what is that telling you? Telling me more women are choosing to get married. That's what it sounds like to me. I may be tripping, y'all. I may be. But that's what it sounds to me. I mean, because you're talking D.C., so that's a big business area, right? A lot of business. A lot of businesses, business people, you know, professionals. And they just not feeling it. Now, if that's the case, then. Y'all know I'm about to go, don't you? I'm not going to go there yet. So, anyway, so that is the case. Now, I just found that an interesting story as I was doing a little research last night, and it just popped up and grabbed me. Of course, Mississippi. Oh, man. Mississippi came in. Oh, Lord. That's all I can say. And I'm not beating on poor Mississippi. But you know what? You haven't noticed Mississippi is a lot like Florida lately. They do some crazy stuff, man. I'm telling you. But it went out of that percentage either. Florida came in at 40%. So Florida wasn't out of the out of the realm either. And of course, in all states, the women, you know, basically they are the younger ones for the most part. You know, the 20 to 24. And their income, average income is like, cool, Lord, $15,000. So it's a discrepancy somewhere. So we can't really say that everywhere, you know, it's just low income individuals. You know what I'm saying? And then the top off, it said the majority were Caucasian women. Go figure. Now, we always talk about the black young girls having all these babies. Well, I guess the Caucasians kind of got their little problems too, huh? Of course, we're not going to hear about that, right? Right. Because you can't say them type of things on this show. Whatever. Forget all. I say what the hell I want to because it's my show. Vernon, I see you out there, bro. What's happening? Yeah, y'all, I'm kind of on a little special tip right now. But anyway. So, yeah, I just wanted to point that out. You know, I just did. You know, it's just not little young black women that's having babies out of wedlock. Okay? It's all women, basically. Caucasians are having more than we are. So, maybe we're doing something right somewhere. Okay. Anyway, moving right along to the next story. Dun, 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 dun. Let's see. Neighbor's dad charged in 6-year-old shooting death. The New Jersey father of a 4-year-old boy who accidentally shot and killed his 6-year-old neighbor has been arrested, accused of having multiple unsecured weapons accessible to children. Let's see. Senator's son and 6-year-old Brandon Holt were playing in the neighborhood April 8th when the 4-year-old got a loaded .22 caliber rifle from his family's home. I'm sorry. And shot Brandon in the head. Authorities said the boys were about 15 yards apart. Let's see. Brandon's grandmother told NBC4 New York at the time she was angry. The family failed to take enough caution in locking up their guns. And when he was arrested, they found 11 guns in the house. 11 guns. Oh, that's a lot of guns, don't y'all think? What y'all think about that? Should we now begin to hold parents responsible for deaths that younger children are causing, or the kids, period? You know, should we begin to require that the parents stand trial or be held responsible for this? And with the hope that maybe more parents will become more responsible and put gun locks on the guns or put them up out of the kids' reach or what have you. Now, don't get me wrong. I understand in the country, you know, those guys, they teach their sons how to shoot, you know, at age two if they can hold a rifle. We understand this. Now, I'm not saying take the guns away, but what I am saying, let's, you know, if you are careless enough to leave your weapon around and your child can get it, then, yes, you need to be held responsible. That's the way I feel about it. What y'all think about it out there? Or should we just leave it as is? We're sorry. It was an accident. We'll do better next time. What y'all think about that? I don't know. I think personally, you're going to have to start holding some parents responsible. You have to. You have to set the standard or the, you know, that, look, you just can't leave guns around. You know? Of course, unless your name is Dick Cheney, you know, you can shoot friends in the face and you know, nothing happens behind it. But, you know, that's kind of different. All right, let me bring Mr. Vernon on, see what Mr. Vernon got to so early in the show. What's Mr. Vernon, what's happening, man?
What's going on, Eric? Mr. Talk?
Nothing, man. Hey. Nothing. Where your drunk behind cousin at? Tell him to get on the show.
I ain't got it with me, man. He probably getting loaded right now, man. I don't know. I know he didn't work yesterday, so he probably.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so we figured that out.
Yeah, he was feeling pretty damn good, man.
Yeah. I know he was.
Hey, have a cousin I love him to death, man, but. Yeah, you know, to get back on your question, yeah, I think if the parents leave the guns around for the kids to have access to them, you know, I think they should be held responsible, man, in a sense, you know, not exactly charge them for, you know, for actually killing the person, but I think they should be held accountable for something, you know.
Well, in that case, then, Vernon, what should they be held? I mean, what should they be charged with, then? I mean, the little boy died.
Eric, if I handed you a gun,
Go ahead. I'm listening.
If I hand you a gun, and I know you pissed off and you go kill somebody, I will be charged with accessory, right?
Correct.
And I would do some time, right?
Right.
But now, nothing is happening for these kids walking in here getting these parents' guns. And so they would have to, even if it's, that's damn near accessory if you got it where they can get to it.
You know what? You're making a lot of sense, Vernon. You're making a lot of sense.
So, they can charge him with something, man. Like I said, I don't think they should charge him with actually killing that person, but I think they ought to get something.
They ought to get something.
No.
Okay.
Yeah, they ought to get something, man.
I mean, especially in this instance, I mean, they went in and arrested them. They found 11 guns in the house, man. 11 guns.
Yeah.
And like I mentioned before, I understand, you know, in the country, you know, they teach them to raise, you know, they raise them to shoot at the age of two and hold a rifle. But, I mean, come on, where's the responsibility at?
Yeah.
I mean, think this is a four-year-old. With a loaded .22 caliber rifle.
I can't say nothing about some guns here because I'm pretty loaded down, but damn fell.
Well, no, that's not the point, though. You arm, but you arm. Shut up, buddy. Anyway, but you arm. I'm sure you're not leaving yours hanging around and you got some firearms on it, I hope.
I'm not leaving them laying around like that, man. I got a gun safe.
Uh-huh. Okay. See, yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, that was irresponsible on the parents' part, I would think. Hold on, we got somebody else who's got their hand up. All right. Good-ass happy Wednesday to you, 404. What's on your mind?
Hi. I want to agree with the previous caller.
Mm-hmm.
One gun in a household is, I can see that being for protection. When you have 11, that's not for protection. I don't know what that's for. So I do feel that the parent should be held responsible. If it's not accessory, it certainly should be manslaughter.
All right. I like that. Now, see, she done took it another further. We said accessory.
Yeah.
She said manslaughter. So that's to some time, real time behind that. See?
Yeah, that's a real
should, time. I feel like they should. Yes.
Okay. Well, you know what? I agree. Something needs to be done. Something really needs to be done because it's getting out of hand. Kids killing kids. I mean, this kid was four years old, and he shot a 6-year-old. Really? Yeah, something needs to be done on that. All right. Well.
But you
hopefully
know what? When I was
go ahead.
When I was growing up, man, my dad, my granddad, you know, they had guns in the house, no locks, no safes, nothing, and we never bothered those damn guns, man.
But see, you had three other
siblings. Let me see. Now, Lowe, he had two other siblings and, you know, and a variety of other cousins and stuff. We never bothered them. We knew they was there. But we never went in there and bothered those guns, man.
Because you knew the consequences, right?
Right.
There was no timeouts. There was nothing like that. You knew if you took that weapon, you was going to get your behind tore up, right?
I'm going to go, yeah.
Okay, then. That's all I'm saying. Thank you, Vernon, for helping me prove my point on that one. Okay. Oh, man. 404, make sure you call back. We lost the drop call. You know, they trying to call on the cell phone, man. After a while, you know, they only stay to say so far, then they just drop right on off. But
yeah, that's what I'm on the cell phone all the time calling, man.
I know. I know. You know, they need to come up with some better technology. All right, we got one more story we're going to run over real fast before we hit the topic of the day. I'm trying to get the crew a chance to get here. You know, we got Renee already here. We got you already here, Vernon. So we're going to get there eventually. All right, let's see. I ought to hook you, Renee, up on the silent line. No, I'm joking.
No, that's all right. Lowe said I was soliciting, didn't he? Yeah.
All right. Here's one, y'all. It really doesn't make that much. It's really not that important to most of y'all, but to me it is. Dick Cheney, he claims Obama involved in Benghazi cover up. Former Dick Cheney president, Vice President Dick Cheney said Monday that President Obama is part of a cover up over the nature of the terrorist act on a diplomatic outpost in Benghazi, Libya, on September 11, 2012. He also told Sean Hannity on Fox News, okay, now, that Obama administration officials lied. Now, here we go. What right does Dick Cheney have to say anybody lied? I mean, how many cover-ups has he been involved in? I mean, really? And what about the biggest one, his role in the manufacture of evidence, like the weapons of mass destruction launcher, as one of the reasons for going to Iraq? You know what I mean? And, you know, you had a role in exposing the identity of that CIA operative that one time, Valerie Plum. You remember when they had that big scoop about that? And let's not talk about Halliburton over there making millions and millions of dollars off the rebuilding effort in Iraq. So what the hell Dick Cheney got talking about? There's somebody that's covering up and lying about something. And to top it all off, he shot somebody straight in the face and nothing happened to him. I mean, and look, you can't say nothing because he was on a hunting trip with the president at the time, George W. Really? But yet you want to say somebody is lying? Somebody's covering up something? Dick Cheney, get off that old crazy Yeah, I think they done put something in his heart, his pacemaker, make him start talking crazy. You know, that's just outrageous. It really is. Hey, for y'all want to know everything that he did in office, I put a link in the chat room. Hey, trust me. Y'all be surprised at the things he was involved in. He never heard about. Well, I knew about it, hell, because I was involved in most of them. Anyway, and that other three top, you know, non-important, essential, some, you know, things I wanted to talk about before we get into the rest of the show. Now, we about to hit it, y'all. Y'all ready for it? Y'all ready for it? All right, here it is. It is the main topic of the day. Should black women stop searching for black men? Now, I'm telling you, this is one of his theory on this. Black women, now, don't get me wrong, I love y'all. I really do. I think y'all are the most beautiful things walking on the face of earth. But y'all complain more about what the black man is not and what he does, he didn't, he hasn't done, and so forth and so on. And then y'all go out there with the Denzel principle in your brain, you know, thinking that y'all going to find a Denzel Washington, Shamar Moore, what's the black English guy? What's his name? I don't know. Ibrish Elbrush or whatever his name is. Him. And you know, so what is the problem, mate? Why are we, you know, why are y'all having such a hard time all of a sudden claiming that you can't find a good black man? So here's my theory to this. Should you just stop looking for black men? Should you just go on and date outside the race? Should you go on and date black women or what? What are we going to do here? So I'm asking a question today. Should you stop looking for black men, black women? You know, y'all say I always see potential, and, you know, he has to bring this to the table, he has to bring that to the table. So talk to me, y'all. What are you looking for in a black man? So we'll know what to bring, you know, what you're looking for. So the line opens, 347-838-8622. Anyway, what you think about that, Bernie? What you think? What you think?
I think a black woman's expectations, and you know, they've gotten too high, man. I mean, it don't matter what you do for the black woman now; it's never gonna be enough. And if it's, I'm like this, Eric. If I get into a relationship or get involved with a woman, it's all about materialistic and things and status and everything. I mean, I don't want to be involved in that anyway, because what if those things leave? What if at some point those things are gone? Then where do we stand behind that?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'm not that bringing this to the table and that to the table. Hey, I think if we're going to go into a relationship, I think we should be at least willing to work together with whatever it is we have.
Okay. Here's one reason doing research, I found a lot of women say is the issue with black men. They have to settle for less. What are you selling for less on? I know you've heard of that, a lot of that yourself, Verdi. They have to settle for less. What are you selling less for? Why, I mean, what? Come on, ladies. I see y'all out there. Come like these lines up. 347-838-8622. Hey, it's your time to shine. Tell us what the real deal is, huh? Because we want to know. This is the question of the day. This is the show of the shows. Come on, y'all. Now, I see. Look, we got to see, like we see Vernon, we always put the stuff out there, then they get quiet when it's time for them to shine.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
This is a challenge, ladies.
Time to shine and stick your head in a hole, man.
See? Hold on, we got somebody with the hands up. Happy Wednesday to you, 313. You on air? Can I get your name? What's going on?
My name is Alonzo Bright, and
okay, Alonzo,
calling from Detroit. And,
all right.
I think the issue is that we look as black people for some things in each other, and what we're looking for is the negative. So in other words, just as was formerly stated, black women are looking for something that is less, or they're settling. So in other words, their view of men, at least their view of black men, is at a very low standard. So they're looking for the bad things, and when you're looking for the bad, you find the bad. Mm. Or if you think about the topic of the show, should black women stop looking for black men because black women have too high expectations? That means whenever a black man is looking for a black woman, he expects her to have these high expectations. So therefore, when he sees something that gives a positive towards that, then he automatically dismisses her and other black women. I think that black men and black women need to come to a point where you start looking for what is good about marriage, what's good about being with a black man, what's good about being with a black woman. Because once you start to do that, you'll start to identify those positive characteristics in people that you just miss because you're not looking for the good in them. You're always looking for the bad.
Well, thank you. I mean, oh, my goodness. Now, that made a whole lot of sense. That made a whole lot of sense. But let me ask you this question, Alonzo. Before you can do that, though, does it have something to do with your inner being first? Before you can go out there and say that you know exactly what you're looking for?
I think it has to do with your inner being. In other words, it's who you are, and it's your attitude.
Hmm.
In other words, if your attitude is negative,
mm-hmm.
if your attitude is about what's negative in life and what things are going on wrong in life, and your attitude is not about love, your attitude is not about peace, then you're going to veer towards the negative, and you're going to accept the negative in life. So once you become positive in attitude, like, for instance, I'll give you an example. I have a friend, okay? I have a girlfriend who basically told me this, and it's the truth. I said, well, isn't it the fact that black women live in an environment of very bad black men, so therefore you don't have a choice except to choose a bad black man? And she said, no, wait a minute. I, as a woman, have the right to choose something other than what I believe my environment to be. So I don't have to take a bad black man. I don't have to settle for what I believe is a bad black man. Because if I go out there and let my environment dictate who I am, then I'll never find it. So, yes, I think there is that inner peace. There's that inner part of us that needs to have that positive attitude in order to search for that black. I mean, I've sat in places where you have a good black man,
mm-hmm.
and you have a good black woman. And we're talking about the negatives between black men and black women. But they're right next to each other. They're probably really good for one another.
Okay. Cool. Anything you want to add to that, Vernon?
I agree with him. I mean, you know, I personally think that most of the time when successful black lady, I guess you might want to call it that, when she finds a bad black man, I think that's really what she wants because she's bored with what she's dealing with. These guys that are stuck up and all this, I think they're looking for that excitement that roughneck bring along with him.
Mm. You know, it's amazing because I had a young lady say that to one time. You know, I just love the chaos. I'm like, really?
Yeah.
The chaos. You know,
I deal with these females all the time, man. I mean,
mm-hmm.
they looking for some excitement, man. They're not looking for anything boring. You know,
okay,
but
that's fine. But
yeah.
In that case, then, you know, as Alonzo said, then they're making a choice to fulfill when
they
go out and
find.
Yeah.
But the issue is that we don't promote and we don't advertise the positive qualities of black men and black women because the truth of the matter is that black men are incredibly strong. They've had to struggle for so long. They've had to go out and fight the headwinds of pipelines to prison. They've had to go out and fight the headwinds of high unemployment. They've had to go and fight the headwinds of undereducation. And there's a lot of black men out there who are doing great things, but we don't publicize that. there are black women that have struggled, that have raised families, who are professional, who have stand against the headwinds of being single mothers and are doing great things and who are educated, but we don't promote that. We don't promote the fact that if I'm married and I lose my job and I have a black mate, then I may not have to go out there and struggle because she may have a job. And if she loses her job, then I may not, you know, she may have to go out and struggle because I have a job. And then when I raise my kids, I know I have a son who's out of wedlock. By having a wife, a black wife, she's able to provide me advice on my son, and she's not his biological mother. Versus if I was by myself, I may make some irrational decisions towards my son's mother, which I shouldn't have made. So there's a lot of positives about black marriage, about black men, and about black women. I think we need to change the discussion to not say what's bad about black women and black men, but what's great about black marriages and relationships. We've got a president, and we've got his wife, who are black and who are successful. Look at that as a positive. What's great about the Obama family? Because there's a lot of black men out there, just like you guys said. Yeah, you're not going to get the Shamar Moore, the perfect guy, or the Denzel guy, but you're going to get a strong, black, handsome man who takes care of business.
You know what? And that is right. However, you know, if Bible Truth by Benny in that room says blacks simply just don't get along with one another. They love others much more than themselves. You know, and, you know, like there was an article that said 10 reasons why the black man is, what, 10 reasons why black women are disgusted with the way black men are handling themselves. You know, and I've heard this all the time. There's just, even on this show, we have women call in and say, there's just no good black men out there. They always walking around with their pants sagging. They always doing so and so. You know, and as you say, there are plenty of good black men out there. I actually had, we've had black men calling the show saying, I'm a good black man, but women tell me I am too nice. So that's what I'm saying. What do, you know, if there's so these so many problems, why even bother? You know, why bother? But Benny said what he said sure sounds good, but it just isn't true.
Yeah,
I mean, Alonzo, I agree with a lot of what you said, and
say,
you know, it is. I think it has a lot to do with the inner side, but it's more to it than that. That's why I want to hear some women's point of view on this. All right, ladies, 347-3322. Go ahead, Vernon. I'm sorry.
Alonzo actually come up with the solution to the problem. You know, that's what he done. But
yeah.
But actually, I mean, but the problem is still there. But now that is a good solution for the problem. I agree with him.
You agree with him? Well, hold on.
I agree with him.
All right, we're going to bring Renee in and see what Renee has to say. Hey, Renee, what's going on? Happy Wednesday to you.
Hello, everybody. How are y'all doing today?
Hello,
Renee.
I agree with him in some instances, and in other instances, I don't. I think a lot of times black men don't step up to the plate and become those positive, successful role models that they should be. So when they're not positive, successful role models, therefore the good black women that are out there that are successful don't want to have anything to do with them because they're not going anywhere. They have no direction. They don't have any purpose or cause to be here. So I think if there are strong black men out there and they want a strong black woman, they can achieve that just by showing them what they, you know, what they can bring to the table in essence of education and, you know, what are they doing with themselves? If you're sitting around the house all day doing nothing and you want to get a strong black woman, she's not going for that. It's not going to happen. It is not. But I think, I don't personally think that we should just look at black men. I think we should look at all different races and find somebody that's compatible for us as individual women. That's just my opinion, though.
Yeah. All right, gentlemen, any rebuts?
I mean, my personal rebuff to that would be I would ask Renee, How many good black men do you know?
I know quite a few.
Okay, so of those black men that you know, how many of them are married, or are you in a relationship with any of them?
I'm married. I am in a relationship.
So that means that means that there are good black men out there. So if there are good black men out there, why do we continue to talk about the bad black men? Because in reality, we're promoting something that causes women to look for. I'll give you an example. I have a 20-year-old son. My 20-year-old son has, my grandson was born premature. My 20-year-old son goes to the hospital every single day for 2 months, okay? He is there for his son. He gets out, he buys his son whatever his son needs once he comes from the hospital. His girlfriend still believes he's not a good black man. He's in barber school. He's doing well. He's building his clientele. He's taking care of his responsibilities, but she cannot see that he's a good black man because all she thinks about is, what can he possibly do bad? And if he shows any inkling or any example of something that she might believe is bad, she says he's a bad father. And the reality of it is, he really isn't.
I think sometimes that has to do with maturity. A lot of times you get these young, immature girls who find these young men, and they're cute, and they're fine, and they're all that until they need them to do something. And you have to be honest. A lot of black men don't step up to the plate and take care of the responsibilities. Not saying that that's your son. I'm just saying there are a lot of black men out there that get young women pregnant today, and they don't take care of their responsibilities. So then what do you do? So I think she's just young and naive, and she's not understanding that he's trying to be there for his kids, but will he be there in 5 years or 10 years or 15 years? Or will he bail like most men do? A lot of them are there at the hospital. A lot of them are there when the babies are premature. A lot of them are there when they're having babies. But then after about year two or three, you don't know where they are. You can't find them. They're out of the picture. And then you've got the grandmamas and the mamas taking care of the kids, and you don't have no father figure in their life. So then what do? So I think it's the portrayal of a black man, yeah, but that's what they have put forward all this time. That's what they've brought us. So we only have what we go by. If you want to show that you're a good black man, the best thing to do is just keep doing what you're doing, because that is going to show them that you're going to be there. That is going to show them that you're going to do what you need to do. That's what it's going to be. That's it.
Yeah. Yes, I agree with Renee there. I mean, some people... Like I said, it has a lot to do with maturity, because if you ask some people what's the definition of a good black man is, it you probably be amazed at some of the things you hear come out their mouth. It may be just somebody that gives me money all the time, or if he just give me what I want, you may not even hear him say anything about being responsible and care the kids, being a spouse, being there for his family and whatnot. They probably come with some things that don't have anything to do with just being a good man. Because just because a person gives you what you want, that doesn't necessarily make them a good person. It just like when they said, it just depends on their maturity level.
Okay. So it depends on all that, huh? Well, see, Renee said something in that whole thing, and I just picked out something she said. And once again, it goes back to what Alonzo has said earlier about the negativity. Because as she was explaining it, one of the things she said was, most men bail. Most men bail. So, again, that is a negative connotation toward the black male. So, another thing she said at the beginning, so if this is the case, and why are we talking black women most of them say, well, I need to go outside the race. Because if we have all these great black, these good black men in the neighborhood, but they, but the women are putting such a bad, well, I ain't going to say women, men do it and help themselves sometimes, but have all these bad things said about them, why don't we sit down, get a round table, and figure out what's going on? Because what happens is it seems like we're talking at each other, and we never stop to talk to each other. You understand what I'm saying? And it just adds to the problem when we decide, well, there's nothing in our own race or ethnicity to complement us, and then we want to step outside, which creates another totally different issue altogether. So why do we do that? Why are we stepping outside the race? Understand what I'm saying? Why are we doing this? When we know there's some good black people here, the women always say, well, I got with him because he had potential. You know, what is the potential though? You know, either what is the black male now? What do they call it, an athlete? You know, when you say an athlete, that's not really got the skills, but you gonna mold them into what you want them to be in. I mean, talk to me. What am I talking about? What are we doing?
I think you brought up a great point, and I think the point that you brought up is, what's the solution? In other words, we have great black people here on the line, and so I would ask Renee, like you said, not talking at Renee, because I think what you said is very important, is if we were to sit down and say, let's just say it's not a black man, let's just say it's not a white man, let's just say it's not an Asian man,
mm-hmm.
what would be your definition of a good man? And then based upon that definition of a good man, what should we as black men, what should we take to our young black boys and encourage them and inspire them to be for the black woman?
Well, you know, as everybody knows, I have 5 young men that I've raised. Black is 4, and one's only 8, and the rest of them are all adults. And I've always taught my boys that they need to treat their prospective spouses, girlfriends, whatever, the way that their father treated me. Now, I am lucky. I'm not like everybody else. You know, my husband is the head of my household. He takes care of me. He loves me. He nurtures me. He listens to me. He provides advice to me when I'm needed. He's my friend. And he's there for me when I need him, and vice versa, the same way. He's also educated. He's also, you know, he comes from a very good family. And, you know, I've known him for a long time, almost all my life. So I tell people I'm blessed. I got lucky. So, but I've taught my boys that they need to treat their prospective mates with respect. If you don't want your girlfriend hanging out all night, then you don't hang out all night. But if you think it's okay that she goes and hangs out with her girls and it's a respectful time and she comes home, then that's all good. So you have to be respectful of each other. You have to get your education. Because without an education, you're not going to go far in this world. You may think you will, but you'll quickly find out that ceiling is a glass ceiling very quickly if you don't have your education. So all my boys are educated. So except for that 8-year-old. But, you know, you have to go into a relationship. You have to go in looking for a prospective spouse with the same kind of values that you were raised with. And if you didn't have any, it's going to be really hard for you to find somebody that you're going to be compatible with. It's going to be hard.
That's it.
That's it,
huh?
So,
Renee, when you say education, what exactly are you? I mean, are you talking about just relationship education, college education, high school education?
I'm talking about college education. A high school education is a start, but a college education is even better, because you go out there today and the kinds of women that you're looking for are not the kind of women that you're going to find that don't have a high school diploma. They're just not. It's a different caliber of women. So when you go in to find a woman, you want an educated woman. You want to look at every aspect. You want her to be able to provide. You want her to be able to, you know, come to the table with a little bit. You don't want her to just have to take care of her. You want her to be able to come with a little bit behind her. I'll give you a prime example. I have my 26-year-old son who's getting married. He does not have his degree. He was not in school. He was not even trying to get his degree, not trying to listen to me at all. His respective mate has 2 degrees from a very prestigious school. She told him, if you want to be with me, you need to get your education. I can't accept anything less. It just happens to be that she's white and he's black. So what do? You love your children. You accept their responsibility of who they are, but they come to the time in every person's life and they have to make a choice unto themselves on where they want to go in life. You either want to work, nothing wrong with working at Burger King, but I'd rather be the owner of Burger King. I'd rather be the owner of Burger King than just work at Burger King.
I agree with you on the dead weight part. Nobody wants to be toting any dead weight around.
So, Renee, let me ask you this question, because I know this couple that lives like this. I know a woman who is in a director-level marketing in a major pharmaceutical company. Okay, her husband happens to be a factory worker and a DJ. They are married, happily married, have been married for, let me see here, I've been married for 14. They've been married for 13 years. Now, would you expect her to tell him to go and get an education, or because they're happily married? Now, they don't happen to live on, let's just say, his salary. They probably live at the level of her salary, and he probably saves all of his money and puts it into the total account for the family. But would you encourage a person like that to go and get an education in order to be a qualified black man?
No, it's not a matter of being, no. Look, education just helps you get that much farther. Everyone doesn't have to be educated to get farther. You don't have to have a degree to be a CEO of a company. You can be a CEO of a company without a high school diploma. It's where you choose to go. You're going to get that education from being in business. You're going to get that education. He's a manager. He's going to get that business. He's a hard worker. He's going to get that business. But he has to realize that she's going to make more money than him if he decides to go to the corporate world. She's always going to make more money than him. And if he's secure with that, if he's okay with that, and she's okay with that, that was a choice she needed to make before she married him. That was a choice she needed to make before she married him. But since she made the choice that she made, she realizes that she got more earning potential than he does. And that's all good, if that's okay for them, whatever's working there for them. But nine times out of ten, those kinds of relationships don't make it the long haul. 13 years is a long time, but 30 years is even longer. I don't see that lasting 30 years. So.
Would that work for you?
It would not work for me.
Okay.
It would not work for me. I have a degree. It would not work for me.
Let me just ask you this question.
But my husband's a truck driver. My husband has a degree, but my husband's a truck driver.
Okay, well, let me ask you this question. I'm a black man married to a black woman. I make significantly more than my wife does. And my wife has a college degree. I have a college degree. And she's a professional woman. She makes a lot of money, but I make significantly more than she does. Now, the way that I've gone into my marriage is that I'm going to live off of our lowest salary no matter what. So I'm not trying to live at my level. I'll be honest with you. I think that people are different and individual in a marriage, and I would think that even though I'm more successful when it comes from a corporate point of view, how much money I make point of view, versus what my wife loves to do, even if I continue to excel and make more money than she does, I don't think 30 years down the line, I've been married for 15 years, I don't think 10 years down the line or 15 years down the line, I would leave her.
Okay.
Because marriage, to me, really isn't about the financial success of a person. It's about a relationship where if you have two people that are married and they're both bringing in an income and you can live off of the lowest income, then the other income can be saved. And then that way, because in the reality of economies of the world, somebody's going to be without a job one day if you've got two people. And I think what a lot of black men feel is a lot of black men feel intimidated because there are a lot of professional black women out there who are very successful and who have done it. But a lot of the black men feel intimidated because they may not necessarily, you know, they may tell a black woman, you don't need a man. All you need me to be is your sex power. You're professional, you have a job, et cetera. And I think we've got to stop that conversation. And I think we've got to say we've got to support one another, and we've got to have that conversation and that dialogue and that says that, you know what, you may be successful, but I may not. But as long as I'm willing to go and keep that job and keep supporting the household and putting money towards it, I think that's a good thing.
All right. Vernon, what are you doing?
That ain't me. That's somebody else. I hear it.
Sorry. Okay. That's me.
Okay. You know, and wow. Y'all bring up some good points. But I think I want to kind of piggyback off on what Alonzo said about black men being intimidated. And you know, it shouldn't be that way. But and kind of, I do believe that some women, they want it that way. They really do. They want a black man to be intimidated. You know, and as in the case with your son, his wife told him, you know, if you want to be with me, look, you got to go to school. So basically she gave him an ultimatum, right? Is basically what it came down to, correct?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
She gave him an ultimatum. I mean, he wasn't doing anything. He didn't have a job. He wasn't going to school. He wasn't working on making himself a successful person. So naturally she said, you need to do something. I'm out of here. It's your choice to do what you want to do. And she left and moved to another state. And he figured, that was a woman that I want. I need to go get her. Let me go back to school and do what I got to do.
But why would anybody want something like that? That's not doing anything.
Exactly. But he's a black man, and I couldn't tell him nothing. His father couldn't tell him anything. So now what do? There's a lot of those men out there. They have no direction. Do you think we as parents do not want to guide our children in the right direction of where they should be? Of course we do. But they don't listen. They get to an age, a certain age, and they think they know everything. And we, as parents, know nothing. So then you have a whole generation of black men out here that are not doing anything with their lives. And then you wonder why a black woman doesn't want them. I wouldn't want them. Why? They don't do anything. I want somebody who's going to be able to be intellectual with me. I want somebody who's going to be able to maybe, you know, spend some time with me on a mature level. I don't want these little kids that are out here that don't have any direction. And that's what they are. They're men who want to be men, but they're little boys. They're little boys that don't have any direction. So when you're 30, 40, and then you're in your 50s and you still have no direction, you think any woman is going to want you? Really? Come on. Really? I don't think so. I don't care if she's black. I don't care if she's white. I don't care who she is. She's not going to want you if you don't have anything going for yourself. She's not.
All right. You know what? The funny part, you can't argue with that type of that you know, thinking right there, because you're right. Nobody wants somebody with nothing. However, I'm sorry. I'm just one of those men. No, don't give me an ultimatum, because you're not. That's not what we do. Now, I'm just going to tell you straight up. Don't give me an ultimatum, because you're setting yourself up for failure then. We could have a discussion, and then we can come to an agreement, but no, don't give me an ultimatum. No, don't do that. Basically, what you're saying is, and like she say, either you're going to do it, or I'm out of here. And being me, I'm going to say, well, get and skip and still go and get my education. You know what I mean? Yeah, she may have been the one, but now, you know, the dynamic has changed. Because I'm thinking, you know, in other words, what she's saying is, I'm not good for her the way I am. You know, and I'm not doing that. No.
I don't think if you look at it as being a negative thing, then it'll be a negative thing. But if you look at it as saying, hey, I love you, but I can't deal with you being this way, you have no future this way. We have no tie. There's no date. There's no ring. There's no marriage. We're just dating. I can find somebody else. There's a billion fishes in the sea. Let me go and handle my life where I am at this point, move on, and if you feel that you can keep up with me, then you come on. That's with everybody. That's in any kind of relationship. The two people are with each other for a purpose. There's a purpose there. And if you don't think that there's a purpose there, you're delusional. It's just delusional. Because the bottom line is you want somebody who you can do something with. And if you are sleeping all day and up playing video games all night, come on. Come on. Come on. So I give her more credit than anything because she made a decision for herself and she moved on and he figured it out. Oh, I love this woman. Let me go get her. And he got up off his butt and he didn't get something. And there's nothing wrong with that. And I wouldn't say physically she said, I'm leaving you. But she just did it. And that's a strong woman. I don't care if you're black, you're white, you're Hispanic, Chinese, Mexican, whatever. She made a decision that was right for her because she was not married to him and she was not tied down to him. If she had made that choice to marry him, that would have been something totally different. She would have been stuck with that.
In fact, I like what Renee's saying, and I would like it even more if it were this. This young man went out and found a woman who he loves. And based upon him loving her, he's willing to go out and do specific things for her, right? Now, that means that we should have black men who go out and find black women who do exactly what Renee's hopefully future daughter-in-law says. Tell them, listen, if you don't get yourself together, I'm not going to be with you. Now, if that young man loves her, then he, as a black man, will decide he's going to go out and get himself together in order to have that black woman. It's an interesting concept because if you think about it, the same thing could happen with black women who want good black men. If you really want that good black man and you're not a good black woman, then that man needs to say, you know what, I'm not going to be with you unless you are like this. And then maybe that person would make that move. The issue is like your host says, is with an ultimatum, you're beating up a person's spirit. Now, he's going to be able to take that beating in his spirit, and hopefully he gets up and he gets in school and he gets motivated, and he's going to end up with that young lady. But there's a lot of times when you beat a person's spirit down so much, and that is a big thing with men, where you beat them up so much that a wounded spirit is something that a person cannot bear. So a lot of black men take a lot of beating from women, you know, about the negative, about what they do, what they don't do. I'm a black successful man, and I take a beating from my wife every day. You know what I'm saying? But I still keep going.
I think it's a difference between you wanting to be something and wanting to do something with your life, and you not wanting to do anything. And I think if you come to the realization and understanding within yourself that you want to go somewhere, you want to do something, and you want to be somebody, then you will get out there and do what you have to do to be successful. You will have some drive behind who you are. But if you have no direction, and I mean no one has guided, molded, or sent you on your way in the right direction, how can you be successful? You don't know how. It's kind of like you have a bike sitting there, but there's nobody there to teach you how to ride it. So you never learn how to ride a bike. So we have a whole generation of black men out here that have never gotten up and learned how to ride a bike because no other black man or other man in general has taken the position of standing up and teaching them how to be a man.
And wow. Wow. You know what? You kind of took my thunder there, Renee. Because I was going to say, you know, a lot of that is done in the household as, you know, lead by example. Not that never mind what I do, you just do it this way. You know, as long as you're in the household and showing, you know, setting that example and teaching along the way, I agree with you, you know, that does make a difference. And it's not happening a lot today. But I wanted to go back here for a moment with the ultimatum thing. And, you know, here's where the double standard comes in. Because if a man was to tell a woman that same thing, look, hey, you need to go back and get to school and you know, get your education, then, you know, we can kick it, whatever. First thing, he going to get, what, you can't accept me for the way I am? Why is there such a double standard when it comes to things such as that?
Personally, I don't think that would be a double standard. I would say to her, take his advice. What's wrong with taking his advice? If it's somebody that loves you and wants you to be successful. What's wrong with that? It's the same situation. You can't out there and tell me that you don't have a lot of women out there today, young girls out there today with no direction. It's the same situation, just reversed. So if somebody's going to give you a hand up and help you out, why not take it? Because
well,
you have this mentality that they can't do it or they won't do it or they shouldn't do it.
Hmm. Oh, okay.
So there's no double standard. It's equal for both sides. It's equal for both sides. If I had any girls, I would tell them the same thing that I told my boys. You need to get your own because mommy and daddy aren't going to be here for you forever. You need to step up to the plate and handle your business. Whatever that may be, whatever direction you want to go, we will help you get there, but you need to find it and get there.
Hmm.
It matters.
Okay. In a perfect world, Renee, I agree with you. No. Now, I understand what Alonzo said about beating up the spirit or what have you. But, you know, in a lot of instances, I'm not going to say all. There's a percentage of black women, young and middle aged and old, that have this combative attitude. Okay, let's just put it out there. You know, it's I am woman, hear me roar. I don't need a man. Don't step to me any kind of way because you're not going to be good enough for me or whatever. And then months down the line, kind of woe is me. I can't find a man. What in the hell do they want? What? I mean, as you say, we're out here. We are out here. Strong. Just like Alonzo said, we're here, we're strong.
You know,
educated, got things going on, what have you. But what is the issue?
You know, I heard that argument last week, and at first I didn't accept that argument. And I heard a gentleman named Jeffrey Miller who wrote a book called Up From the Under. And he mentioned something, and it finally rang true to me. In our history in the United States of America, when you talk about the integration of black people into a quote-unquote white society, it was always much easier to integrate a black woman into the society than take the risk of integrating a black man.
Hmm.
If you look at it from a slavery point of view, there is a huge risk in empowering a black man. But there is not a huge risk in empowering a black woman. So if you've looked at corporate America and if you've looked at affirmative action, if you looked at a lot of the programs, if you've looked at a lot of the educational standards, there have been a lot of very successful black women because it is a lot less risky to allow them to integrate into white society. And also from an employer point of view, it gives you a double point advantage from an affirmative action point of view. It's a woman and she's black. So you've got to look at it that there's a lot of black women who have gotten that power from moving up in society, and once you gain that power, you know, it's pretty easy to tell your spouse, your mate, your potential spouse, you need to come up to my level. The issue is that if you were to take a black woman, a black man, and take them to a job interview and put them before a corporate boss, because I'm going to be honest with you, I've sat next to a lot of white men in planes have been honest with me, and they've told me, Alonzo, you're in sales. I would like to bring you on to my company in sales, but I'll be honest with you. I don't think other white men who you would go see would allow you to sell things to them because they would perceive you as having more power than they. However, I can bring in a black woman, and I can have them go sell to them because they won't see her as a threat, and that's a reality. So there is a reality that black women have a lot more power in society when you're talking about integrating into white society than black men do. And I think they take that power and they use that power in households and relationships. And I don't think it's that they purposely do it, but it inadvertently happens.
All right. I see we got someone else with their hand up. Let's bring them into the conversation. I get it working here. All right, 111, you're on the air. Happy Wednesday to you. What's on your mind?
Yeah, happy Wednesday to you.
All right, Mr. Joe. There's a Joe sighting.
So,
what's going on, Joe?
Hey, Vern, what's going on?
Hey, Joe.
Okay, which one's that?
That's Renee.
Renee. Hey, Renee.
Hey, Joe.
All right, Joe.
So I didn't. I'm not at my screen. I don't know what the topic is.
Oh Lord, the topic is: should black women stop looking for black men?
Should black women stop looking for black men?
Yeah.
In other words, they're supposed to go out of their race and look for white men, Asian men?
Whatever. Just stop looking for black men. All the problems they have is so-called with black men, then you know, why are they even bothering to look?
Their problems. I'm sure just like most women of all stripes, they create their own problems. You know what I've said. Women are the architects of their own self-destruction. So most of the problems in relationships are caused by, perpetrated by, and sustained by females.
I disagree with that strongly.
I totally disagree with that.
Of
course you do. You're a feminist.
Now the party begins.
I'm not a feminist, but I totally disagree with that.
You're 23 years married.
There's no way in this world that... Really? I cannot believe you actually pulled that out of your mouth. Because that makes no sense at all.
See?
That would make us responsible for everything that's wrong in the world today.
Oh, just about. And I'll tell you what. Because when it comes to relationships, the more a woman makes, the more money she makes from a man. She keeps talking about how she wants a sensitive man, how she wants somebody to understand her, somebody to respect her. But what's her major criteria? You never find a woman, or rarely find, because I know some chicks are going to come on the line and say, Joe, you don't know what you're talking about, because there are some women who do marry down. But 95% of women marry up, and that criteria is always status and money. So I do know what I'm talking about. So why don't you and who's the one?
No.
Who created the feminist movement? What's her name again?
No, I'm not a feminist. I'm really not a feminist. I believe
you know what you are. You're a feminist when it suits you, just like most women. They all say, "Well, I'm traditional." But when it comes to taking out that feminist card and saying I'm strong and independent, they do that too.
No, I'm a modern woman.
Oh, here we
go. Very traditional. That does I'm a modern woman today. We are in 2013, man. I'm not back in the 50s. I'm here in 2013.
Well, you should be. You should be.
I'm educated.
They were educated too, and they were in the workplace.
I am in the workplace, but I also do what I need to do at home. I take care of home and heart.
You know what?
So,
I remember you because you are an exception. I mean, you do take care of your husband to a greater degree than most wives. But you can't say, excuse me, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, you're fine.
I know I'm fine.
Oh, Lord.
What I say now?
You're missing the whole point of the conversation.
Uh-huh.
And the whole point of the conversation is that I don't feel, me personally, and I am a black woman,
mm-hmm.
that if a white man walked up to me today, and he walked up to me and he said, hello, can I have your number, and I wasn't married, I would freely give it to him. And it has happened on more than one occasion. Not because I'm a black woman, it's because of the energy that I expend. When people meet me for the first time, you either like me or you don't like me. There's no in-between. Most people like me. So you get great conversation with people. You talk to people. You have a good rapport with them. You conversate with them in a way that they feel respected and understood. And then they will, in turn, give you the same.
No, they don't.
It doesn't matter what color you are. Yes, they do.
No, they don't.
Yes, they do.
Ask the men who are very introspective, very insightful, who are divorced, and they would tell you, I thought I gave all I did to, unless they're, of course, look, let me give you my improvised subjective stats. I think 75% of men are very good men, would make very good relationships with just about any girl who treats the guy, you know, with mutuality, with, you know, respect and understanding. Guys get it. Guys want a woman who treats them well. 75%. 25% of guys are scumbags. They couldn't have a relationship if it was imprinted on their head with a tattoo. Couldn't handle it. Okay? But women, you get a good guy, you blow it. You always blow it.
So where do you fall in that 75-25%?
I'm sorry?
Where do you fall in that 75-25%?
Oh, I'm in the 75.
Oh. And you are married now, right?
With no, I'm not married.
Woman.
No,
oh,
I'm not married.
Of course you're not.
Well, of course. You know why I'm not? And you think that's a contradiction to what I said? You know why I'm not? Because 95 to 98% of women in America, of all stripes, except maybe even the Chinese American, because they even grow with the mixture, your women are born with this idea that your daddy's little girl, you're America's princess. The more good-looking you are, the more entitled you feel that you should have your princess desires fulfilled. It's as simple as that.
So, Joe, you think most women are have an attitude of entitlement?
Well, all women do, but depending on how good-looking they are, they can't acquire what they really think they're entitled to. The better-looking women have no problems. Because men are tripping all over themselves in order to try to get this chick's attention. They want to buy her stuff. She uses them if she's extremely shallow. And if she's really narcissistic, she'll use them, not even know that she's using them. And then you go down the scale. The uglier women, they can't act like a princess because everybody will go, "Are you freaking crazy? Who are you?" But if they had plastic surgery, put on the boobs, fix the nose, they would act the same as the shallow princess.
I think you're generalizing only.
I am generalizing.
I feel none of those things.
Who's talking about you?
I'm representing a lot of women.
No, you're not.
Am I the only woman on the show right now? Is there another woman on the show?
Wait a minute. I'm generalizing, but because you're the only woman on the show, your opinion represents the majority of females in America.
I'm not saying that I represent the majority of females in America, but I know how a lot of black women think and feel because I have a lot of black friends. I work in an environment where I deal with nothing but women. So you tell me that I don't know a woman? Please, I know a woman better than you can ever, ever, ever know a woman.
So you know maybe you know 100 women, 200 women. Do you think that's a representative sample of the American women?
I know
women?
A lot more than 200 women, please.
Oh, so you know them all intimately enough so that you have...
I do know a lot of women. In the field that I'm in and what I do, I deal with mostly all women.
And I know a lot of women, too. Hey, how about that?
No, I can tell you that they don't think that way. That's not what they're wanting in a man.
Oh,
that's the furthest from their mind.
All right,
I'll
tell you what.
And you're going to sit here and tell me, you know, all women want that?
95, 98%. That's about, yeah.
Not realistic at
all. Okay, sure.
I'm not saying that there aren't some women that do feel that way. There are some women that feel that way. But the majority of plain, everyday women that aren't models or making billions of dollars in entertainment field, or just the everyday average Joe woman does not feel that way. They don't.
The average everyday woman feels that way, but can't get it. She can't get it because she's not the elite woman.
Most of the men in the world are like you. They want to be jerks. And when
in
they're jerks...
Way? Now, be careful what you say because I didn't call you names.
No, I'm not. I'm just saying how you're acting right at this moment.
So if I say you were acting like a bitch before, that's okay?
No, I wasn't.
My opinion might be.
Problem.
No, I might say, I might feel
that. I'm just saying that women really want what men want. And you don't hear it because you've got this big box around you and you just feel that all women are the same.
All right, let me ask you a question.
You're not
going
to find a woman that's worthy of you because you haven't put it out there.
Let me ask you a question
so
we don't have to go through this round. I've been in so many discussions with women. It gets so tedious.
But yet you don't have one yet.
Well, that doesn't mean that my discussions aren't valid. It just means I don't have a woman. And if I wanted to lie, I could say I'm like a rabbit. But I'm not lying. Here's the thing. Do you or do you not see women with the more money that they make, the more they're attracted to and go out with men who make more money than them?
I would agree with that.
But what do you think I was saying?
I would agree with that. But that would not make that be their only chief priority.
Oh, you stop.
Please,
that's the one major
priority. I wouldn't be. When my husband and I got married, my husband made significantly less than I did. Significantly more.
Do me a favor and talk to Michael if he's on the line so he can aggravate you.
Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. He's not on the line yet. But you are.
Look, I'm eating something right now, so Renee, go, you know, I want to talk to, you know, Vernon, Eric, whoever else.
Any other day, you want Mike on the line. Now you're calling for him, but you can need to make up your mind.
I will. As soon as Renee leaves, I don't want Mike on
the so. He's in the chat room. Anyway, Lonzo or Vernon, y'all got anything y'all want to expound on right there?
I'll leave that one alone.
All right. Vernon may be working. You know what, though? And I forgot, but Renee does work around a lot of women. Now, she said something, but we didn't go into it. So I'm going to ask Renee, with all the women that you deal with on a daily basis, weekly basis, what do they want from a man? What do they want?
They want honesty. Men are not honest. They don't give honesty. They give half truths and half whatever. Oh, whatever. They don't give honesty. They want to be loved just like men want to be loved. They want a companion.
Anybody can come along to any woman, and if he's a good guy and she's willing to love her, then she will accept
him. A true man.
What's a true man?
Joe.
All right.
You talk. What's wrong with honesty? What's wrong with being honest and being a real person, showing a woman your real side? A woman can deal with mostly anything as long as you come at them with the truth. When you come at them with half-truths and lies and you tell them all this crap that you think they want to hear, it doesn't fly. It doesn't work. So that's why relationships fail. Selfishness and honesty. Give them some honesty and don't be so selfish. Sometimes think about her and not think about you. Maybe she doesn't want to go on a 50-mile hike in high-heeled shoes. Maybe she wants to go to the theater instead. What's wrong with that?
What kind of nonsensical example was that? What man is going to tell his wife or his girlfriend, honey, let's go on a hike, but I insist that you wear high-heeled shoes?
Oh, please. They do ridiculous things like that all the time.
Men do that all the time.
Out to dinner, and they get on their motorcycle.
Wait a minute.
They don't think about her. They don't think about her needs. But it goes both ways.
What man wants his woman to go on a hike with nothing but high-heeled shoes?
Please. It was done to me.
Done
whatever.
To you. Well, it should have been done to you.
Be thoughtful. Men sometimes are not always thoughtful of their prospective mate. They're not thoughtful. What's wrong with being thoughtful? Think of her before you think of yourself. You might get a little something in return.
Stop generalizing about men. What do you know about men?
Mm.
I know a lot about men. A lot.
Yeah, okay.
Let's see. All facts in the chat room say they lie because the women, they're meant to be a certain image.
Well, they're all men, especially if you're younger. They know that in order to impress the woman, you know, if you're 21, 22, 23, they're going to try to say, well, I got this kind of job, I make this kind of income. And guess what? He might get the girl to go out with her. But then when she finds out, well, you know. Well, not that he lied. The fact is that he didn't have the money. He rented the Mercedes.
That's a lie.
That's not it. The fact is that he doesn't have it. If he was a liar and had the Mercedes and had the Lamborghini, she wouldn't care.
Now, I'm going to back Renee up on this one, and I'll tell you the reason why. Because I'm a man who's married. And I'll be 100% honest with you. You can go out and you can be 100% truthful with a woman. You can meet women at bars. You can talk to other females. And if you're 100% truthful and honest with them, you tell them you're married straight from the get-go, or you tell them that you're involved with someone else, or if you tell a woman you simply want them for sexual purposes, a lot of women will respond positively. A lot of women do want honesty. They honestly want you just simply to tell them the truth. And if you tell them the truth, you'd be shocked at how many points that you actually get with women. So I do agree with Renee that women do want truth.
I'm lost here. Y'all lost me a little bit. When the hell did men become the only liars and women became so goddamn honest?
They have it.
Okay.
Women lie too. Women like you.
Okay.
But they didn't answer the
that
question
that
they asked.
That was all I was going to say. Y'all just making it like the men. Y'all was making it like look like the men were just the big liars in the relationship. And the women were just all honest, just this little honest ass, I ain't done nothing wrong, innocent ass motherfucker. Now, that's true again.
I was answering the question that was given to me. And, you know, what does a woman want in a man? And that's what they want. They want honesty. They want truth. They want respect. They want to be able to.
So let's say I'm making $100,000 a year, and I'm honest, and I go to Hollywood, and I see my favorite actress. She's made two or three films. She's got about $5 million in the bank. She makes about $2 million a film. And if I'm honest with her, and I say, you are truly gorgeous, and I can tell from the way that you act, your screen persona conveys your actual real personality and character, and I would love to go out with her because I think you are exciting. How many freaking Hollywood actresses would do that for a construction worker who's making $100,000 a year?
You might be surprised.
Yeah, I would, so I'm asking you.
You
surprise
might.
Me.
Off the top, I don't have any stats on that, man.
Okay, end of conversation.
But if it was me, me, and I was a single woman, and a man came to me with respect, and he didn't have a line, and he just walked up to me, and he said, you know, I think you're beautiful, you think you're gorgeous, would you mind going out with me? I would give him a chance. I would freely give him a chance.
Why?
Because he came to me. He came to me sincerely and honestly. Now I'm gonna tell you what. If you come to me with some line, you're gonna get a line handed back to you, and you're not gonna get the time of day from me. But if you come to me with honesty and respect and say, hey, you know, I really think you're gorgeous, and I really think you're nice, and I know I'm not dressed the way that, you know, you're used to people seeing me in the way that I'm dressed, but I would really like to take you out for a meal. How about that? I would respect that. I would respect that so much, and I would say yes. I'd even probably throw my panties on the table for him.
Yeah,
that's
right.
That's how much I would do it.
You're married for 23 years.
I would, because he came
and you're talking
to me
about a
directly.
Fantasy about what you would
no.
do.
No, I'm not.
You haven't
There's
talked about anything you
there
have
don't
done.
Get it. They don't get it. They go to bars and they pick up women with these catchy lines and they think it's cute.
You're not qualified
it's
to
not.
Talk to me. Sorry.
I'm very qualified. I'm overly qualified.
You're not qualified.
Renee.
Yes, Vernon.
Let me ask you something. So if your husband, say y'all were out somewhere and you seen a girl and she was dressed all just skanky. You know, just like a prostitute, and but she looked good. She was a beautiful woman, just like a prostitute. And you say to him, now she just looks nasty, and he'd be like, well, no, baby, she don't look just all that nasty. I mean, she might not be dressed for the occasion, but she ain't looking nasty. She looks pretty damn good. Would you want him to be straight up and tell you that, or would you want him to agree with you and say, yeah, she do look kind of nasty? You want him to lie to you?
No, I want honesty. I want complete honesty. If I look like a skanky hoe, tell me I look like a skanky hoe.
Yeah,
that's
be
what I look
that
like.
Night,
it may not be good for you, but it'll be fine for me. That's just me.
Yeah,
that's me personally. I'd rather you tell me the truth. Tell
very
me the
good,
truth
Renee.
At all costs.
Very good.
At
Renee.
All costs. Tell me. And, but there's no man that's going to ever do that.
Renee's
they don't
good.
Have enough balls
Renee's
for
good.
It anyway.
No, she's
23
years married. She's good. Okay.
I'll support Renee on that one, and I'll admit the truth. I do that at home. I'm sitting there. I watch TV, I see a woman on TV, I'm like, who is that beautiful black woman on that screen right in front of my wife? If I'm walking down the street and I see a beautiful woman, I'll be like, wow, she is fine. And she at least respects that because I'm not lying to her face. I'm not turning my head, you know what I'm saying, to look at her and then she catches me. So I'll agree with Renee 155% on that. I think a lot of men just don't realize that if you tell the truth, you'll get a whole lot further if you tell the lie, because eventually you're gonna tell the lie.
This guy was born. This guy was born the same day and year as Renee. So.
Yeah, but I have a wife and you don't. Hey, but I have a wife.
Thank you.
She's probably
born
at the same time.
I have a wife and you don't.
No,
well, that's
you.
Not an accomplishment because you know everybody can have a wife or a husband. It's like everybody
thank
has
you.
You know toenails, dandruff, and an asshole. That doesn't mean shit.
But you don't got one.
But what did I just say?
No.
The way marriage is through today, I wouldn't brag on it.
but you have to understand, women don't want what men think they want. You have
no kidding. You know what women
what
want?
Woman
I want a man
you
to be
no
equally
clue.
Yoked. That's what they've been saying for years.
Let her finish.
Oh, okay.
Equally yoked means what to you, Joe?
I'm eating.
Equally yoked means what to you? Equally yoked means what to you?
sexual is what, not what it means to them. What they mean is this man has to make at least as much money as me.
That's not what equally yoked means, dude.
Look, before you get into this, I'm going to tell you, Joe is agnostic. So what you're looking for,
Lord,
he's not going to catch. I'm just going to go and tell you that now.
Why are you throwing out biblical terms? Really?
I am telling you what women have said.
Oh, my gosh.
So if you have a problem with the definition, go talk to the chicks.
No, I haven't talked to them. I know them.
Well, if you know them,
then
you don't have to.
Because I'm
me.
One. I know them 10,000 more better than you do.
Yeah, I've got 10,000. Of course you do.
Yes, because I know more women than you'll ever know.
You know them. That's why. Of course.
No, I'm in that industry, and I'm with women all the time.
Yeah, I've been with women all the time, too. So we all know women.
A lot more than you, I'm sure. For 37 years.
No, well, okay. You've got the brass ring. You know women.
But I know them better than you because
of
you obviously
you
don't have a clue about what a woman really, really wants.
Absolutely.
Because if you did, you wouldn't start spewing out this silliness that you do about women.
I know. You're right. You're right, Renee.
Okay.
All right.
Joe?
Yeah.
I have to side with Renee on this one.
Oh, good God.
I mean, hey, look, I'm going to look at it. She did women 24/7. I mean, you know, women talk to other women. Let's be honest with it. They'll talk to other women. So, yeah, she probably has a good idea of what the women in her area or you know, circle want. So it's not a bad thing to listen. Now, Joe, we put your, you know, you say women are all narcissistic and, you know, but we broke you. I thought we broke you from that a little bit. But today you just want to be hard. I know what it is. But we're going to leave you alone with
No,
that.
I can't be hard. You know why? Because everybody says I lost my libido.
Okay, Joe.
That might be a part of the problem as well.
Well, of course, Red A had a chime
but,
in.
But here's a question I'm going to put out there then. And this is a question I've been getting thrown at me all week for some reason. How can you, if let's say we like on today's show, how can you give a decent perspective on a topic if you're not, let's say, out there in the dating world or you're not married or what have you?
Because I've been in the dating world. I haven't been married because I've been too smart to get married. So I've been in the dating world. And because I don't have a chick now, doesn't mean I haven't had them. Is that right?
Yeah, that's what you're saying.
Well, that answers that question.
Yeah, okay. For you, anyway.
Well, not for everybody. I mean, you don't have, what? A man has to have a chick at the exact moment he's having a conversation about chicks in order to talk about them?
No.
I'm okay. No.
I agree with that, Joe, but...
Well, take a look around. Is it
look,
not
Joe,
true?
Look, I'm going to tell you, Joe feels no one should get married. No one should get married.
Oh,
it's
that's
a waste
true.
Of time. I'm telling you, that's the way Joe feels about that.
That's true, but that doesn't mean that you can't have a long-term relationship. I believe a long-term non-marital relationship for people who really know about what's going on between men and women, which excludes Renee, that they would have a better relationship than if they were married in today's society.
Hmm.
Now, Renee's been married 23 years, so she got married when she was a baby. So what does she know?
And Alonzo been married for 15 years.
He's still a baby, so what does he know?
Oh, he's still a baby.
Yeah.
I was 26 years old when I got married.
See what I'm saying?
26 years old when I got married.
I know.
For
the
second
time. You were just out of diapers.
My second marriage.
Oh, well, you are an expert.
I'm not an expert in anything, but I do know that being married 23 years after being married in an unsuccessful marriage, what it takes to be married for 23 years.
Yeah,
so I do know a little bit more that marriage is not this doom and gloom that you set it up to be. It is not. It's been a wonderful trip. It's been a wonderful journey, and I would love to do it another 23 more. Not a problem. It's not always been great because no relationship is always great. But when you make a commitment to somebody in love, honesty, and it's wonderful, it's a wonderful thing. But when you are a liar and you go into a relationship with your lies, then yeah, it's going to be a
I agree with
so busy keeping up with those lies. It is.
I agree with you. Also,
so
you did,
that works for Joe.
That, what do you mean that works for me?
If it works for Joe not being married, then that's fine.
You also said when you were married that if it came down to the final decision between you and your husband about something important that affected the household, you would acquiesce to your husband's decision. So you are a rare bird, so get off the line because you don't represent women.
I do.
You do not?
I do.
No.
I do.
You do
I
not.
I do.
Come on,
so
guys.
Do.
Come on. Is she the typical woman that comes on the line, and is she the typical woman that you know?
Yeah, for me it is.
No, you shouldn't even have your own show.
Ah, whatever. Y'all see? Whatever. All right. You know what? All right. We're not gonna start to count down on you this time, Joe.
All right.
But
you know what?
Okay.
We've had so far. It's been good without Michael. My God, I can't believe that we can actually have a conversation. And Michael.
Oh well, you know he's tearing you up in the chat room. So.
Oh, is he?
But anyway.
Oh
so,
God. Michael, get over it.
Oh, Lord. So, anyway, so with this revelation that women want honesty, they don't want no lame lies, they won't matter with it. I don't know. Did she say education? From what we
education.
Said,
education is a good thing.
How about the wallet?
How about just
it's
say.
It's not the most important thing, Joe.
Okay.
It's not.
How, all right. How
about potential? That key word that's always thrown out there, potential.
Good word.
Potential?
What about potential? Yeah, potential. A lot of women say, well, I got with him because I saw the potential in him. So, being that you're a woman, what in the hell does potential mean?
Oh, good question.
Well, let's see.
Yeah, think about
it. I'm going back to my son before Joe came on. He's a good kid, good Christian young man.
Oh,
good
boy.
Head on his shoulders, but he had no direction. So my future daughter-in-law saw that he had, he came from a good family. He had a good head on his shoulder. He just didn't have any direction, okay? So she saw in him that there was great things that could be of him, and she chose to decide whether or not she was going to be with him or not be with him. She chose to be with him in the end, and he has turned out to be my best child out of all of them, and which is a surprise to me because I knew he would always do something great, but I never thought he would do as great as he's doing now. So he is one of those people that you look at as potential. He had great potential, and she saw it in him, but yet he wasn't working on it at that time. So she decided to just nudge him forward a little bit.
Uh-huh.
And she did that, and it worked for her.
Oh.
I'm not saying it works for everybody, but
she
it worked for her.
Nudged him along. Okay.
She nudged him along.
Right, nudged him along.
Love and Light says, potential, no thanks. Either he is working his program or he is not. No room for potential. Too many women waste time and energy on potential.
See, there's the money and stuff.
Yeah.
Now, how would you like it if your son said to you, Mom, I'm not very ambitious. I'm a responsible human being, but I'm not very ambitious. I really don't want to make more than $50,000, $60,000. I really just want a modest house, and I don't really need more than one car. I don't need a lot of material things. And if I had made just about, you know, $55,000 in today's, you know, inflated economics, I'd be satisfied. Do you think, how many women do you think would look at him and say, well, God, he's got a great personality, he's got a great character, and they would look at him and say, what a catch, as opposed to if he was saying to the prospective sweethearts, I'm gone through college, I've got my degree, I'm in a good corporate environment, I'm making 55 now, but I'll probably make about 100,000 the next 5 or 6 years. Which son do you think most women would go for? The one with the character, but not the ambition, or the one with the ambition, and they don't know about his character?
I have both types of sons. I have both. And the one that's making $55,000 a year is the one that's the most happiest. And he is the one that is my most successful. And I tell you why he's most successful, because he's doing his heart's desire. He's doing what he wants to do. That makes him happy. Therefore, that makes me happy because he's happy. And it makes his fiance happy. And he's very successful in what he does. Now, I do have a son that has a very bad attitude. He's always had a bad attitude. And he's the one, my child, who doesn't listen to anything that anybody says, and he thinks he knows everything. And he's my child that is my middle child.
The wayward child.
I struggle with the
okay.
personality.
The
and
wayward kid, okay.
Yeah, and he's making more than $100,000 a year. He's got a beautiful family. He does his thing, and he's also, I guess, as happy as he can be. So it doesn't matter as long as you can do the best that you can do with what you have and be successful. It doesn't matter.
I hope
it
everybody realized you didn't answer the question.
Well, I think that...
I answered it.
No, you talked about your sons and didn't answer my question.
I think ultimately... if you look at the question and if you look at the answer, I think it comes down to what was the original point of all the discussion today is what would it take to get black women to stay and date black men and not necessarily have to go out and look for white men, regardless of if they go out for white men or black men, it doesn't matter. I think the issue is expectations, and I think that the point is that where you can build a great relationship is when you sit down and you start developing those expectations. If the expectation is, hey, you know what, honey, you're going to make $50,000 a year, maybe 55 max, but you're happy with what you do, and I'm very happy living in that environment, and I myself may not want more than that, then I think that that young lady may choose that man. However, you may have another woman who says, you know what, I'm not happy with the $55,000 a year, but the expectation is that you're going to make over 100, and you have to maintain that, and I'm happy with that 100, even though you have a very bad attitude, as Renee's son does.
Right.
So I think the issue is expectations, and if you can sit down and you can communicate those expectations and be honest about what you want, then I think it can be a good solution and equation for a good marriage. You have to set the expectations. You have to be open and honest about it. You have to put them on the table and be honest about what you want, and I think it'll work.
I agree.
All right. In part, because what he's talking about is if the woman realizes that he's got a bad – I'm not even going to talk about your sons or anything, because I don't want to bring it home. I don't want to talk about you personally or your family because I don't want you to think I'm doing it. But let's say some guy is shallow, makes $100,000 a year, and the woman says, well, I don't care about his attitude. I care about the money. That makes my point.
There are a lot of women out there that believe that.
Well,
there
yeah.
are a lot of gold diggers out there. There are a lot of gold diggers out there.
Mm-hmm.
But they want what the man has. There are. I cannot say that there are not. Because a lot of women don't have anything, and they do want to find a man that has something. We look at every NBA player almost out there that has married beneath himself, or a football player, or a baseball player.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't tell me that those women didn't see dollar signs when they saw that man. Please, who wouldn't? They were going for that kind of man. They were looking for that kind of lifestyle, and they were looking for those kind of environments to be around.
And that,
so,
right, and that kind of divorce, right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but, I mean, there are women out there as well as men that do see that. And you cannot tell me that a man does not look at a pretty face and say, oh, she's beautiful, and she's my kind of girl, and I'm a professional football player, basketball player, athlete, or whatever. And they don't take that as eye candy and put that on their arm and stroll on. You see them at all the games, sitting in the crowd, looking at the baseball players, waiting for them at basketball games, after the game. You see it.
Well, yeah.
You see them.
And if the man is shallow, I mean, he's just, he's part of the 25%. He's a jackass. But what if the man takes a look at some women have said, well, men take a look at us women, and they all you want is a good-looking eye candy. And I say, you know what? That's part of our DNA. We look at you. We want you. Because you're there. You're attractive. You're pretty. That stimulates us. That's all we want. Well, not all. But that's pretty much what we want as long as the package and the character are good. Okay? But with a woman, it doesn't matter. With a woman,
yes,
you can have crap character and but have big bucks, and you have more women coming after you, kissing your ass, than if you were a good man, good character, and no bucks.
Those would only be the shallow women.
Well, duh,
95%. Those would only be the shallow women. They wouldn't be the women that have character. They wouldn't be the women that have class. And they wouldn't be the women that want to build a future with you. Look, there are lots of people out there that are celebrities and whatever, and they're married to people who were not famous when they got married. But they chose that person because they saw in them that there was something great. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing at all wrong with that.
Yeah, there is something wrong in that. There is something wrong. Because the woman wants to tag along and be in this guy's shadow. If this guy who had the potential didn't want to be a great actor, but let's say he was the next Marlon Brando, and he didn't want to be a Marlon Brando, the girl would say, Jesus, you know, he's got this talent, but he's wasting his talent. I got to go. I don't want to be around some loser. It's always, look, you take the theme that runs through all relationships is that 95% of all women have married up. When you have that theme running throughout all relationships, whether they're good or they're bad, that is the great motivator.
I strongly disagree.
Well, okay.
I would say that there are a lot of women that do marry up, but there are also a lot of men that marry up. And
no, there are not a lot of men who marry up.
In the black community, there's a lot of men
who marry up.
There are a lot of black men who marry up.
Yeah, because there's a lot of black women who are.
Maybe there's a shortage of.
Going back to what was said earlier about women in the corporate world, women are more in the corporate world than men are, and I agree with the fact that men can be intimidating, and so can women, but they readily accept a woman in corporate America before they accept a man. So when you go to that corporate headquarters, you're going to see more black African-American women in those higher positions than men. And that's just in any job that you see, because they look at them as being less of a person. That's not right, but they do look at them that way. So you'll see a black woman in corporate America very easily. And so she's making more money than him. And so 9 times out of 10, she will get her the man that's parking the car rather than an equal CEO, because she's making the money and he's not. There's nothing wrong with that if they fall in love and they realize that they put everything on the table and they understand that that's how he's going to live and that's how they're going to live. And
well,
she's always going to make more than him. There's nothing wrong with that. Nothing at all.
Yeah, I like to be a fly on a wall in their marriages and see who runs the household.
Look, we had an interesting statement come out of the chat room by Debbie Daly, and she says black women beat their men down. You know.
Wait a minute. Wait.
What?
As I know, Debbie. And
yeah.
Debbie.
She said they bloviate, yak, yak, yak.
She talks bad about people who talk bad about her, but that doesn't sound like Debbie would. That doesn't sound like Debbie would. The Debbie has the Debbie Daly show would put that in the chat.
It's Debbie Daly, and it says black women beat their men down. She's saying she gets that from listening to the show today.
I don't know if that's Debbie. That might be somebody using a handle that seems like it might be Debbie's.
Okay, she says some of them now in big letters.
Oh, some of them. Okay, Debbie, how long have you known me?
She says it's me, Joe. So she knows you.
No. How long? Because I don't think it's Debbie Daly. How long have you known me, Debbie? What's our favorite pet names?
Oh, Lord. We really don't want to know that.
No, because I don't think it's Debbie's. I don't think that's
all right. Okay, she says too long, JoJo.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's Debbie.
Okay, yeah, right. Okay, so, I'm listening to all this, man, it's kind of a lot to take in. But I think we covered a lot of cut ground. Now, Michael is in the chat room, and of course, he's doing what he usually can't do on the air.
I can imagine what he's saying.
Yeah. Here's this question. Why are white people talking about black people relationships? This is crazy. What's the title? Anyway.
All right. So I'll let all the black experts talk.
Anyway. So, Renee, know, you have a, you're putting in some great information. So your girlfriends there in the shop, they pretty much agree with what you said today. Other opinions that we can hear.
I deal with a lot of upwardly mobile African American women, and they're all, a lot of them looking for a good black man. But I tell them, don't just settle for a good black man. If you can find any man that is willing to treat you with love, kindness, and respect, just to start with. And it's little niceties. It's just little niceties. You know, we forget just the common everyday thing. Open the door for a lady. You know, hold a chair for her. You know, just little things. You know, just little things. And a real woman, real woman wants those things. A real woman.
Oh, look at this.
They want those things.
Wait a minute. You see the foot, I mean the shoe on the foot? It's a real woman wants these things done for her. But a real man does it for her. But a real man, why can't a real man get a woman to do things for him?
Well, hey, like I told one of them just last night, you know, she went out, took a chance, and she went out on a date with a man. She's a lawyer. She went out on a date with a man, and she had a good time. He happened to be a white man. He happened to find her very attractive. He opened the door for her. He did everything for her. He paid the meal for her. But then I told her, I said, you know, surprise him. There's nothing wrong with you paying the meal for him. There's nothing wrong with that. If you feel comfortable enough to be around him and you like his company and he made you laugh and you had a good time, and I said, girl, make sure you get your dinner now. Get a good dinner. And she did. And then she goes around the next time they go out and she goes ahead and pays the meal. That would shock him. That would shock you, Joe.
Are you kidding? I'd die of a heart attack.
I have no problem paying the meal for my husband if we go out to dinner.
All right, Renee, no, like I said before, you're different. You can't come back to the show anymore.
Oh, whatever.
Right?
That'd be fine if it was your show, Joe.
You know what? I mean, like, we need more women
because
like Renee, actually. But, I mean, you know.
Because
I
need you speechless.
She's thinking Renee, that because she does this, that other women do it, too.
Renee, I'm going to ask a question. So what you're saying is a lot of our brothers need to get back to the chivalry part of the romantical part of it.
Yes.
You know, the romance.
What is wrong? What is wrong with that? What is wrong with chasing her? What's wrong with it? What's wrong with it? That is our natural instinct. We had a caveman at one time. Y'all had to chase women down. Y'all caught the woman. What's wrong with that?
Let me ask you a serious question. All right. You go into a bar. And the women there, they're lawyers, doctors, architects, engineers. And the men theoretically should be of the same ilk. But let's say you have plumbers going in there. And they're not, you know, they don't fit the stereotype of being, you know, the blue collar Neanderthal. They're pretty, well, they're modern men, they're polite men. Tell me, Renee, okay? Honestly, even if it blows your whole theory about how women are, if 10 plumbers were in a bar where there were 30 corporate women, all of them making more money than the plumbers, what kind of a chance would the plumbers have with the women?
If the plumbers came in there correctly, meaning they came dressed appropriately, and they came to the table and they said, hey, would you like a drink? And they bought us drinks or rounds or whatever. I would have a seat. I wouldn't have a problem with it at all. It would not matter to me one iota.
Okay, let me,
I want to know who you are. What
let me rephrase my question. Okay. There might be women, because women are notorious for this. They'll take a drink out of, you know, from anybody in a bar. What I'm saying is, how many of them would go out with the plumber if the plumber says, well, now she's used to going out to good places being supplied by men who were making about the same amount of money. But how many women, they might go out once or twice. But let's say after the second date, how many women would continue to see the plumber after the third date if he was only taking her to a movie or to a local pub and she knew that he would not do better than bowling or the occasional, once every 3 months maybe, to please her, 4-star restaurant. How long do you think?
You're asking Renee that question. You're not asking the world that question. You're just asking Renee that question. And if it was just me, I would go out with him with no problem.
Sweetheart.
I would not have a problem with him.
Honey,
I would not have a problem with him.
Honey.
At all.
Honey, honey. I'm saying, okay, the question you've already heard. I'm not asking you. Did I ask you? No.
Okay, hold that thought for a moment. We got another caller with
okay.
the hand up. Oh, Lord. Happy Wednesday to you. 678, you're on the air. What's going on?
To answer that question, very few women would continue to go out with that person. Only women who I would say think outside of the box. Most of us, because we went to school, because we, I guess you would say, were more dedicated to what we were doing, and many of our men tend to take the cynic route, then we prejudge them based on what they do. And we don't take into consideration that some blue-collar brothers can do just as well.
Thank
you. So we get caught up on the aspect of what it would look like to our friends.
Maybe.
I'm a lawyer. I can't take this guy who's a plumber.
Yeah, right.
All right. Thank you, ma'am. Can we get your name, ma'am?
Oh, she's been here before.
Carlene.
Carlene?
Okay, yeah, she's
Carlene.
Been here before. Matter of fact, I texted her and I told her what to say.
Whatever.
And I did exactly as you said.
Right. Okay. So, Renee, you say you would, and Carlene says most people wouldn't. Am I right on that one?
I'm totally right. I would go out with them because I look at the person more than what they do. I look at the person, and I don't care what other people think about me. I don't care. I don't care what my girlfriends think. I'm the one that has to be happy in the relationship. If they want to be old, crumpled up and alone because they didn't take the chance on a good brother, that's up to them.
Okay.
But I would take the chance to get to know them. I would
Renee?
Take the chance. I would.
Renee.
But I have to agree with Colleen when she says a lot of people wouldn't because there's a lot of black single women out there.
Okay,
nobody.
That's what I'm saying. How come, you know, when she comes on the line, you're all nice, 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 and agreeable. When I say
I'm
the same,
nice.
When
I'm
I say the same
nice.
Stuff, you're oh, Joe, you're crazy.
Because you're coming at me from a hostile.
No,
home,
I'm
so.
Not. I'm just. I'm the
I'm
one who brought up the situation. Oh no, hey, Eric, can you mute Renee?
No, I'll mute Renee. Lord have mercy. Okay. Alonzo and Vernon, y'all been kind of quiet. Any comments?
Well, I think the original point that you brought was chivalry. In other words, she wants men to, you know, basically open doors for her. And what I can say is this, is women are of a creature where what you put into them, you get out of them. And I can tell you that, and that's a benefit of a woman. When you're in a marriage or relationship with a woman, if you treat that woman good over a period of time, it's like planting seed into her. It's like her birthing a baby. She will eventually give that back. For instance, if you take a woman and you're mean to her long enough, you got to believe that one day she's going to be very evil to you. So that chivalry, taking care of a woman, that chivalry, opening up a door, that chivalry, doing things for a woman, when you do that, you're going to be surprised when she starts doing things for you. I dated a woman once, and I was shocked when I dated her, went off to work, and she happened to come and pick me up at the door right when I got off work. I was shocked and blown away, but it's because of the things that I had done for her in the past. And I think the whole point of the conversation is, what can you do in order to encourage black men and black women to get in strong relationships? And the thing is as a black man, you need to recognize and understand the benefits of being in marriage and the benefits of being in a good relationship. If you put good things into a woman, typically you're going to get a lot of good things out. I mean, look at your house and your home. When I walk into my house on a daily basis, I'm not the one who put in the beautiful rug. I'm not the one that put in the absolute beautiful curtains. I'm not the one that keeps the house sparkling clean. And a lot of times I'm not the one who does all the cooking. But when I come into my home, it has the feeling of my wife who I've treated with love. That's a great benefit of marriage that we need to speak about. So, brothers, if you want some good things going on at home, treat a woman good, and you're going to get some good things out of them.
Okay.
Man.
Right.
Very well said.
Yeah.
Very well said.
That is
very well said.
Yes, very well said. Just treat the woman great, and she'll appreciate you to death. No such thing as a conniving.
Well, yeah, because here's Joe's take on that, y'all. Joe says if you give a woman the perfect relationship, the perfect marriage, she would never be happy. She would eventually do something to cause drama or screw it up because that is the nature of women. Now, that is what Joe believes. Did I say it right, Joe?
Right. Did somebody write that in the chat room?
No.
Oh, okay. So you remember what I said. That's exactly right. You have most women who, because they take things for granted, they have a man who's treating them right, they no longer get the stimulation from this good man. This good man has now become boring. She is going to become complacent, and she's going to start trouble in the marriage because she needs the stimulation of some kind of drama. Plain and simple. Now, do all women act like that? No. But 95% of relationships in which if a man has a harmonious relationship, she's going to fuck it up.
So what is it that they do? What is it that men do to mess it up? They do nothing because they
No. 25% of men will. 25% of men. One out of every four.
But Joe, I agree with you. I agree with you from this point of view. If you get a woman who is shallow and who looks for a man for simply money, eventually he will get boring. Because eventually a man who comes and who happens to be the plumber, but happens to be a little bit more exciting, but happens to be a little bit more funny, that happens to be a little bit more charismatic, will actually come into the household of the CEO who is boring and happened to get the trophy wife, and she just wanted him for his money, she will eventually have an affair with the plumber. So I agree with you 120% if you get into a relationship with someone who is superficial and just wants you for the money, because eventually you're going to be boring. They're not going to want you because of who you are. They just want you for the money, and they'll find their sexual preferences. They'll find their charisma, they'll find their humor, they'll find their excitement somewhere else.
Well, of course, because you've already, it's an identification which you've just set out. If a woman is shallow, well, of course, you've just put in that particular, it's not an attribute, that particular element, which of course is going to create that type of situation. What I'm saying is even if you're a so-called good woman, because of the indoctrination that women have received in this society, that they should be daddy's little girl and princesses, when they come across a harmonious relationship, they are going to whine and nag about something or play games in such a way to irritate their husband or their boyfriends in order to get drama. Not just because they're shallow, but because they're bored. And it doesn't, you know, unless you're really a rational woman who can understand that boring means harmony. And there are so many things that a couple can do to stimulate each other. They can go to amusement parks, go to picnics, go to barbecues, go to movies, go to museums, go play sports together, go to an adult camp, go bowling, go try riflery, go try archery. There's dozens and dozens of things that people can do in order to keep their relationship stimulating without this malfunctioning drama. But they don't do it. And I've been talking about what the reasons are for years, but only until men get divorced do they fully understand what the hell I'm talking about.
Okay. Whew. Wow. Okay. All right, Joe. You got your words in now.
Okay.
All right, y'all. Hey, I got to get up out of here. I got Bible study tonight. I got to go and read over this chapter. But before I leave out, and of course, I give everyone a chance to get their last words in. I guess Vernon Jones. We're going to start with Miss Carlene. Your last words, ma'am?
My last words would be that we as women should be open-minded to all brothers if we look into the heart rather than what they make. And as for men, I think they, if we train them to be, to open doors for us, if we train them to do as we want them to, but oftentimes we're so happy to have a man that we accept anything.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Colleen. We're going to give Ms. Colleen some love, first time caller. All right. You're welcome back anytime.
Thank you.
All right. You're welcome. All right, Joe.
I already said it a few minutes ago. Yeah,
you said it a few minutes ago. Okay. All right. And your Nate, last words?
Well, you know, I believe that men and women have to recognize within themselves what they want in a prospective spouse. Because if you are willing to make sacrifices in your relationship in the beginning, then you will not always be happy. But if you look within the person and you see who they really are and you accept them for who they are, and you'll be happy at the end because you know what you're getting. But if you're trying to get something for nothing, you'll end up with nothing in the end.
That makes a lot of sense. All right. Thank you, Ms. Renee. Hope to see you tomorrow.
Right, thank you.
Okay. All right, Mr. Alonzo, your last word, sir.
The last words are, I think we've got to change the perspective. We've got to start looking for the positive. Black men and black women, pretty much women and men in general, need to start looking for the positives in marriage. What is good about relationships? And not always necessarily looking for the negative. If you're a negative auditor, you're going to find negative issues. You're going to find bad things. Be positive, change your perspective, look for the good in relationships, and you might find a good bait, black or white.
All right, thank you. And we got to show you some love also, first-time caller. You know, that's what I'm talking about. And like I told you, you're welcome back at any time, okay? No matter what the topic. All right, y'all, another outstanding show here on Let's Talk. And as I always do, y'all know I have to get my little sayings in also. We had one heck of a conversation going on in the chat room also. I'm telling you, it was hot today, y'all. It was hot and popping. So it's going to get this my closing on out of the way here. And let's see. Don't forget to send me an email at ericletstalk@gmail.com if you have any suggestions as far as topics you want to hear on the show. Or just stop by my Facebook page at Let's Talk with Eric Jackson at Facebook.com. You know, send me a friend request. I'll friend you back. And I'm always posting information on that page as well. All right. In closing, today we ask the question, should black women stop looking for black men? In today's world, there are experts who recommend this or that in finding the perfect partner. Of course, many of them are either divorced or never married. Why are we placing pressure on ourselves to find that perfect person? Here is a hint. They are not out there. Many women say they often settle because they see potential in black men. Yes, many young brothers have strayed away from what our ancestors taught us. Books such as Why Men Marry Bitches and The Denzel Principle attempt to give insight how men and women work. People, it is not that hard. Be who you are. Stop being that person you work with, watch on TV. Just be yourself. Be available. Lose the attitude. Then, and be true to yourself. Only then you may find that special person to spend the rest of your life with. And those were my closing words for the day. Once again, I want to thank everybody for joining us today. Just tomorrow, when the topic will be destroying our community from within, I think that should be another hot one. I'm sure it will be. Well, y'all just remember to keep smiling, show appreciation. Be surprised if the appreciation gets shown back at you. Forgive with the open heart. But if your heart is not open and you haven't forgiven yourself first, then there's no way you can forgive anyone else. All right, y'all. Tomorrow, 2 p.m. Central, 3 p.m. Eastern, and, of course, 12 Pacific time. I'm about to get up out of here, but before we go, I had a special request to play this song right here. So here it is, Stick With You by the Pussycat Dolls. Until then, y'all, I'm out of here. Thank you.
I'm telling you exactly what is on my mind. Seems like everybody's breaking up and throwing their love away, but I know I got a good thing right here. That's why I say, everybody in our private lives, ain't nobody